again with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing page 311. If anybody had has a burning special in their heart, you just raise your hand and we'll be more than glad to accommodate that. Amen. happiness and give him praise. Hallelujah. Amen. I kind of wish the song said everybody should be happy. Sometimes it's hard, right? It's hard to be happy when your tire gets low on air and you have to go and do something about it, or gas gets high, or things happen, amen. But that's the best time for you to be even more happier, because you're calling by faith those things that are not as they are, amen. And it's through outward expressions that you express your faith in God, amen. That's a revelation, amen. Praise the Lord. How many are ready for the word tonight? Amen. Let's just sing Word of God Ever True, key of F.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength.
I hear that song. Thank you, brother. I hear that song. I think of all the ages that the Word of God was preserved for.
Amen.
It was written on scrolls, hidden in caves, Brother Bruce. For ages it stayed in there. And then somebody found it.
Amen.
And we have it now in print.
That's right.
And then we had a prophet come and give us a divine interpretation of what that print said.
Right.
So we sure am happy. Always happy. Every day. I thank God for sending us a prophet.
Amen.
Amen. He's not our Savior. He's not our God. We know that. But I'll promise you, without him, you wouldn't be standing here tonight. No, you'd be just as confused as you were when you were out in the world. Amen. All of us. All right. By way of announcements, real quick. I know Brother Ryan's already give it, but some come in afterwards. This coming Saturday at 3 o'clock, service will start at 3. Okay. We'll have singing. If you have songs you want to sing, come. Brother Martin Villarreal, they're coming. And Brother Robbie, I'm sure they'll have some singing. And Brother Bruce, if you come, y'all can get you a song together. We sure appreciate Brother Bruce coming tonight. But that's at 3 o'clock. We will start at 3 o'clock with that service, and then we'll have preaching. Then afterwards, we'll have a good old July the 4th. Them people looked at me today at Walmart. I had so many watermelons, I couldn't see myself. And you know, my dad used to, I don't know how that happened. He did the thump thing. Right. Everybody waiting, the young kids don't know what I'm talking about. They just pick it up out of the thing and put it in the thing. But you know, you're supposed to go. And dad would go, and it sounded the same to me. Every one of them would. He'd go, oh, that one's good. And sure enough, 99% of the time, that was a good one. So I didn't do the thumping thing. I just put them in the cart and pushed them through Walmart. So we've got plenty of watermelon for everybody for Saturday. And then we'll have other desserts too, but we'll have some good old cold watermelon. But preaching comes first. Amen. Next Wednesday, Brother Manuel will be speaking for us. I'll be having my knee replaced next Wednesday morning. Don't know what time yet, but I'll let you know this weekend or whenever they call, so you can be praying for us. Now, we're going to change up a few things, or one thing. Brother Joe Adams is coming here on the 19th. This will be the first time Brother Joe's ever been here, and he's bringing his whole family, and he would like for us to fellowship together. So Saturday, here at church, 4 o'clock. Now, no service. Don't have to wear your tie unless you want to get it dirty. Because the church will buy pizza, and we'll have cake and ice cream. Very simple. We'll just have a good time downstairs, and it'll just be a fellowship. If we start at 4 o'clock, don't have to be there at 4. Just any time you can come, we sure would love to have you. Brother Joe Adams, I just got to meet him not too long ago. Do you know Brother Joe Adams? Okay. He's from Brother Tim Pruitt's church, and we'll have him here on the 19th. But on the 18th, that Saturday, somewhere at 4 o'clock, just in and out, we'll have pizza, cake, and ice cream, and fellowship. We can all try to go to a restaurant, but it'd take you a week to get in, and you couldn't fellowship. So we're going to be downstairs fellowshipping in the fellowship hall. That's on the 18th when Brother Joe Adams will be here for that weekend. I know all of you noticed, but we've got a new violin player. Sister Holly, where's she at? God bless you. Thank you so much. She's been practicing, and they've been playing with her at home, and now she's got a real nice violin. I still call them fiddles. It's just according to who's playing them, right? Okay. But they sound beautiful. She sounded beautiful tonight. We sure appreciate that. And I appreciate her putting forth an effort. I want you to all use your talent. You know that as well as I do. Me and Brother Joe was talking the other day. He said, I've never been around somebody that wanted so much for people to do stuff. I want you to, it ain't all me. I'll promise you that. Without you guys, we'd be nothing. So I want you to use your gift. God give you a gift, you need to use it. Amen? Exercise, the Bible says, exercise your gift. All right? Exercise your faith. You say, well, that said faith. Oh, well, faith is a gift. Brother George Quinn said to tell you hello. I talked to him today. He will not be coming by here this year. Schedule didn't work out for that. Good to have Brother Bruce and his family with us tonight again. We sure appreciate all of them. Remember Brother Joe and all the kids, and Brother Anderson and his family will be on the way back Friday, and they should be here Saturday for the meeting, but we sure appreciate all. We saw Brother Andrew Glover last night. He said to tell everybody hello, too. Talked to him a few minutes ago. I told that boy, I said, look, he left last night, drove to Birmingham, got on the airplane, and he's in Colorado tonight preaching. I said, a few more turns of the clock, buddy. You won't be doing that. No. You'll slow down. He said, after I turned 30. Oh, grief. After I turned 30 twice, I still feel twice as bad as I did when I was 30, so. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. We have a new addition tonight. July the 1st, we got a new baby. Can't hardly see her face, but that's Brother Joseph and Sister Rachel's. I'm sorry, Janet's. Boy, don't ever tell anybody that I said that. There's a story behind that. Some of you know it, some of you don't. But yeah, that's little Rhema. Rima, R-E-M, Anyway, can't it just be Smiths and Joneses and Wades and Bruces and so, Rhema? Well, anyway, she came into the world today, and there she is. She's going home tomorrow, so just keep the family in prayer. We may get to see him maybe in a few days, but we sure do appreciate the Lord giving us a new gift in the church, so we appreciate that. So I know we all have unspoken requests. Good to be here tonight. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, you knew before the foundation of the world, Lord, that we were going to be here tonight. And you ordained each one of us to be here. Looking down through time, you saw us here, Lord, and you said your word would not return void, but it would accomplish what it said it would do. Tonight, Lord, I pray that the word will dig deep down in our heart, take all the unbelief, all the doubts and fears away from us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us, Lord, in the reading of the word. And Lord, that you'll bless the hearers. Father, you be the speaker tonight. Be the active participant in this service, Lord, not just a bystander recording our thoughts. But Lord, you be the one that speaks. Father, just be with us now. Be with the ones that are sick. Be with our sister and brother, Lord, there in the hospital with a new one. Lord, I pray that you'd just be with them and touch them with your mighty hand. Lord, be with us this weekend. All the ones that are coming, Lord, Saturday, I pray that you'd give them strength and give them the ability to come, Father. And I pray that, Lord, I'm going to do it Saturday, but I thank you tonight for 55 years of being in one building. And I appreciate that. Lord, we see many people, Lord, that can't say that, but we can say 55 years we've been in the same building, serving the Lord, Dad being the pastor there and Brother Moat for the first part of it, Lord. And now, Lord, it's found my lot. And Lord, may I uphold the standards that have been given for the 50 years of my dad and Brother Moat was here. I pray that you'd be with us now. Lord, lead your people and bless them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're on the fourth seal. I know we're going to have to background maybe a little bit. We're on the fourth seal, part two. We started in 20,000 in 2020. We started a few months ago, and they're just going to leave the chart up so that we can go back and forth. Now, we're on the fourth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name. Now, he has a name now. He did not have a name, the other three seals. He has a name now. And we're going to see how that name developed and why now he has a name, maybe tonight. All right? And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, hunger, and death, and the beast of the earth. One more scripture, and you can be seated. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's what grieves the Holy Spirit. All right? He's naming what he said. Don't grieve it. Now I'm going to tell you what you're going to do to grieve it. Then I'm going to tell you in verse 32 how to get out of all that. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You may be seated in the Lord as his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been on the seals now for a while, and I know that that we are, the fourth seal is a seal that's, I don't say it's weird, but things happen on the fourth seal that doesn't happen in the other seals. Right. All right, and we know that if you've studied it some, that we've come now to the fourth seal. The fourth seal, the rapture takes place. All right, is everybody with me? I'm going to read it. Brother Brown said it, so I'm going to read it. I'm going to tell you something he didn't say. But the fourth seal is when somewhere in between that sixth and seventh church age and where we are now, there's going to be a bride that's going to come to maturity. All right, a bride's going to come to maturity. She's going to come to speaking condition with God, come to full adoption. The headstone's going to be placed on the body here, not there, here. And then there will be a resurrection. And then there will be a change. And then there will be a rapture. And that's the way it is. I, you know, sometimes I am a little weird. I met a guy last night he said, I finally got to meet you. And I said, well, brother, I don't know who you are. He's from Santee Cooper over in South Carolina. He said he tried to be here Saturday, but he said, I've been watching y'all online for a while. He has a little church there. His pastor didn't even know who he was, but I asked him, do you have anything better to do? I guess he didn't. It's a boring life. But, you know, you don't know who's watching. You don't know who's paying attention. You don't know who's listening. Brother Keith Reed told Daddy years ago, did he not? He said, Brother Dale, there's more people listening to you outside the building than they are inside the building. He went to Africa. He went to Ghana, and he preached one service, and these three brothers came up to Brother Keith and said, you know Brother Dale, don't you? Because he was preaching what Brother Dale had preached years ago. They had the tapes. Or had watched it online. So we thank God that we had a wonderful foundation. Amen? Amen? All around the world. We sure appreciate that. Right. But we got to get it here. We got to get this thing here. Yeah. Right. All right? Now remember, the seals are not for information. Right. They're for revelation. It's not just to make our head bigger than somebody else and the seal's open to me and not to you and I've got it and you don't got it and you got to listen to me and, oh, my heavenly days. Been around long enough to know that there's only one hierarchy and that's him.
That's right.
Amen. He's high above, the Bible says, high and lifted up above everything. Right. There is nothing. Everything's put under his feet.
Right.
Amen. We honor men. Amen. We honor men. But that's the only man we're going to emulate right there. Because that's the only man that can save your soul. That's the only man that can change your body.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Right.
We were preaching last Saturday. And get back to my thought. But in the order of things, we'll see it maybe a little bit later on. But in this church, we believe that the rapture is kind of the post-game show. Everybody with me? Everybody's looking for a rapture. That's okay. But the rapture cannot take place without a resurrection first.
Amen.
So there's got to be a resurrection message. That's why I believe, as well as you do, that the Son of Man revelation in the end time is the resurrection.
Right.
He stood out there in human flesh. He said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. I have been changed into a glorified body.
Right.
I am turned back young again. Why do you think that Mary didn't know him? Mary thought he was a gardener. Mary's seen him all the time, but she'd never seen him at 20 years old.
Amen.
My God's not gray-headed.
Right.
My God's 20 years old.
Right.
And he's just a happy thing. He smiles all the time, and he don't walk around with a cane.
Right.
You know, how many times have you seen God being depicted? Yeah. What? I don't want to be changed into that. I don't want that guy to change me.
Right.
I want a 20-year-old to change me. I want to be changed back to that.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
But we believe that we need the resurrection has to come because, and we'll prove it here in a few minutes, the fourth seal. Brother Brown said the rapture takes place in the fourth seal. So somewhere in there is a resurrection message, and we know what that message is. It's that eagle anointing right here.
Right. Amen.
That's the prophetic anointing that will bring the bride to perfection. Don't worry. You're not going to perfect yourself.
No.
God's going to do it.
Because
he said he was going to do it.
Right.
I still remember that sermon that Luis preached years ago. God said.
Right.
Okay? God said.
Right.
God said he would do it.
Right.
So we let him handle it. He'll know what he's going to do. If he said, I'm going to have a bride without spot or wrinkle. And that's not in the millennium. That's today.
Right.
All right? You got your white robe now.
Amen.
All right? All right, let's get off of that. Get back on the sermon here. But there's an order to everything. So there's an order to the seals. There's an order to the church ages. There's an order in Thessalonians says what? We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not what? Prevent or hinder those which are asleep.
Right.
For the dead in Christ shall rise
first.
And then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. And then we'll meet the Lord in the air.
Right.
So like I said before, the rapture is the game's already been played. This is the post game. The rapture proves there was a resurrection. The rapture proves there was a body change. The fourth seal proves that there was a rapture in the seventh church age. Everybody with me?
Amen.
And we were talking about back in the seals when we started, just to background a little bit. We saw that the Bible tells us that iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. That's in the end time. And we realized that when we saw that seal open, we realized that iniquity is something, it's a hideous sin, the prophet tells us. It's something that you know you should do and you don't do it. Or you shouldn't do and you do it anyway. Now there had to be a knowledge of that, whatever you did, X, Y, Z, right? So that's not talking to sinners. That's talking to Christians.
Right.
You and I have the most iniquity. They don't have iniquity out there. They have sin. They don't know better. It's the ones that sit in the church that know better and do it anyway. That's why that the love of many a wax cold, iniquity shall abound. What? In the church, in the message church. Listen, there is no love outside of the bride of Jesus Christ. And I hate to say that. There's a bunch of loving people I know, but if they're not born again, they're going to split hell wide open.
Right.
And there's nothing I can do about it. You can try your best.
That's right.
This old saying goes, a lot of good people are going to be in hell. I don't want to be good.
Right.
I want to put myself in him because he's good.
Amen.
He's the one that come down here and took my shame. He's the one that come down here and took all the stripes for me. He's the one that come down here and had a body change. He had to die.
Right.
So that you didn't have to.
Right.
And even if we do have to go by the grave, we can't die anyway.
Right.
Christians don't die.
Right.
We just move over into another dimension.
Amen.
Amen. That's why the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're not dead. They died when they were here.
Right.
They died to their self. What is a new birth? Dying to yourself.
Right.
And let him live inside of you.
Amen.
But unbelief was so bad in those first few ages. Sure, they had the pure unadulterated word, the lion, L-I-O-N, the lion, the combat beast. They were bold. Paul, Peter. Paul said, you'll be judged by my gospel.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty hard to say when you're standing behind a pulpit telling the people you'll be judged by what I say.
That's right. Yeah.
But he did. But remember down through time that Satan got involved. He didn't get involved in the world. He got involved in the church.
Right.
Okay? Right? And he caused, because what happened to Eve? Eve was the first bride.
Right.
And she got tripped up by what? Unbelief.
Right.
Not believing that God could do what he said he would do.
Right.
And that's what's happening now. Unbelief is what's killing all of us.
Right?
Right? So to become believers, we must do away with the unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just to make a point, the seals, kind of watch my notes here, the seals are not for your soul redemption.
Right.
No, your soul redeemed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, ever how many years ago it was. That cleaned your soul up. That put God inside of you. That made you and God the same as persons inside. And then you began to grow. All right?
Amen.
And that was before the seals ever broke.
Right.
Now that the seals is broke, it's something for us to enter in. I was thinking actually going up there yesterday to Anderson. I thought, you know, if your soul is sealed, it's just clean. It's God.
Right.
Your soul is God if you're born again. And nothing can get in. Nothing can get, God can't even leave.
Right.
Amen.
He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So he's bound by his own word.
Amen.
But in your middle realm, that memory, reasoning, conscious, affection, imagination, I know some of you are fishermen and you know what's called backlash? They call it a squirrel's nest. When you throw it out there and you don't get your thumb on it and it just like, you know, and you can't find the end. The beginning or the end. That's the way our spirit realm is.
Right.
Because remember, when you get born as a baby, as Rhema, that you receive a soul.
That's right.
And that soul is a real you. That's the person. But what happens is that emulates out into the spirit realm, and then your body is just controlled by what's inside. All right? I've told y'all many times, and you may not agree with this. Your flesh does not sin.
That's right.
No, your flesh doesn't sin. Your flesh only reacts to what's inside of you. Because this same hand that horribly held a beer one day. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not perfect. God didn't have to cut it off and give me a new one. He cleaned my desire up from inside. And I don't have to reach and grab one anymore. I reach and get a message book. Or I reach and get a Bible. Or I reach and shake your hand. Same. It's just cleaned up. Sanctified, cleaned, and set aside for service. And then when you get the Holy Ghost, just putting in service. But the seals are not for that. The seals are for that squirrel nest realm where everything's going wild. Your memory, reasoning, conscious, affection, imagination. Think about those things. They can be all of God or they can be all contrary to God.
Right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
My worst demon is my memory.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Hello? Well, maybe I'm not the only sinner in the building. But that's my worst. I wish I could forget my past. God can. God put it in a place. He made a place he can't even go into. Amen. He made a sea that he could throw our sins in and never remember them again. But what he done, though, he gave us a prophet to tell us that the greatest battle that you have is right here. That memory, your reasoning. We don't reason against the Word of God.
Right.
We did. Affection, worldly. And God has nothing to do with imagination. God doesn't imagine stuff like we do. We'll sit and imagine something, it'll never, ever come to pass. We may sit for hours and just get something and never develops. God can't do that. As soon as he thinks it, it comes to pass. As soon as he sees something, it starts developing. Right? So praise God that we have a God that can do that. That also he has amnesia, though, where he can't remember my sins. So the seals are not given for that, though. The seals are given for that spirit realm so that we can take those demons that Satan is coming in this way. God is coming this way.
Right.
Coming out of the soul into your memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. And Satan's still trying to get in this way.
Right.
All right? And what's going to defeat him? This is unbelief coming in.
Right.
Remember, your soul has either faith or doubt. There is no several different memory, reason, conscience, faith. No, there's only two. Brother Brown said, faith or doubt. Faith or doubt.
Right, right. That's right. Amen.
Your soul today is not gray. It's either black or white.
Right.
You're either born again or you're not born again. But what we have to do is we have to take that soul and get it out. Let it come out.
Amen.
And what happens is sometimes we do let it come to the forefront, and God does things for us, and we're like, man, that was wonderful.
Right.
Then sometimes we pray for something and it don't happen. What's it doing? God's training us.
Amen.
To not be babies.
That's right.
To not be a bunch of spoiled brats. To be able to stand on your feet even when God, remember, God's yes, no's are the best yeses you'll ever get.
Amen.
When God says no, he knows what path you're going to take, and he knows it will be a path to destruction, and he's going to say, no, son, don't go down that way.
Amen.
But what the seals does, it makes us aware of one thing. Where Christ is, not the devil, Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, has been preached for 2,000 years. But it never was preached when Brother Brown preached Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He showed us. He showed us all God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was, he poured into the bride. And then the one we forget is take us back to the Garden of Eden. So we've got to have something. If he poured himself in us, to get us across that chasm to take us back to the Garden of Eden, there's something called redemption.
Right.
Amen.
But it's not just redemption of your soul, because your soul's already redeemed if you're born again tonight.
Right.
He's working on the mental man.
Yeah.
That's where my unbelief is, because I cannot unbelieve in my soul if I'm born again. Neither can you. It's impossible to disbelieve in your soul if you're born again. It's that middle realm, that memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. It's why God opened the seals and he had a prophet stand on that first seal and he said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. And there goes a white horse rider. Something was riding away from him.
Right.
Something had been close enough to be, I'm going to say it anyway, in him.
Right.
I'm going to read, y'all, I've read every quote. Brother Bram said I'd have made a horrible mistake on the first seal if I'd have started on my old notes.
Right.
Second seal, third seal, fourth seal, I'm going to read it here in just a few minutes.
Right.
And on the fifth seal, I was reading this morning, Brother Bram said on the fifth seal, he said, altogether different than what I thought.
Right.
Altogether different than what I thought. He thought those souls under the altar were the saints.
Yeah. Right.
But what was God doing? God was not, he was correcting a prophet, but what was he doing? He was telling that prophet. That's why when God gave him all that revelation, he said, I've never worked in realms like this before.
Right.
He come and bring something to me, and I see it's contrary to what I saw. And some people would say that would hurt me. No. Revelation should help you
right.
to realize you're wrong.
Right.
But what happens is the devil, as soon as we realize we're wrong, that unbelief comes slamming in like a, what?
Yeah.
A flood.
Right.
But that standard comes up when the flood comes.
Amen.
And we go right back to say, Satan,
yeah.
I don't have time for that.
Right.
I was thinking last night as Brother Andrew was preaching, you know, the devil, we know that the Bible says that we're going to look upon him as somebody just like an old sot drunk laying in the street, and we're going to go by him and say, is this a man?
Yeah.
Right? Scripture tells us, and I can't remember what it is in the Old Testament, is this a man that destroyed nations?
Yeah.
Is this a man that caused all death and destruction? He's just like a drunk on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Do you know, I was last night, God showed me something else on that revelation. Satan is something made to never, ever win.
Right.
He was made perfect, and he decided that his way was better, but he will never, ever win.
Right.
And you and I, being part of that Genesis 1:26 man that was not made on the sixth day. Come on, folks.
Right.
That Genesis 1:26 man is his progeny. It's his children. It never did have a beginning.
Right.
And it never will have an end. Well, here's Satan. We're afraid of him.
Right.
We're afraid of him.
Yeah.
And we were made from the eternal.
Amen.
Way before Satan was ever come into being.
Right.
Sure, we were not people running around up there, but we were in the mind of God.
Amen.
And the mind of God, as Brother Andrew was saying last night, and I tell y'all always, if God ever loved you for one split second, he never can unlove you. You can't do enough.
Amen.
Right. You can't do enough to be unloved if he loved you for 1 second. Because
right.
he can't change his mind.
Amen.
He never will change his mind. Now, he'll change you.
Yeah. Right.
But he never will change his mind.
Right.
And he sure won't change his mind about the word.
Right.
That's how we can put our, we can say this has not changed for 2,000 years. When they started printing it 1,500 years ago, somewhat. The Mormon Bible, I had some Mormon girls that worked for me a long time ago. Their Bible changed 500 times. Why? God didn't write it. So there's only one other person. Okay. So we know where that come from. But I didn't want to tell them that. But unbelief is what's killing us. Watch what happened here in the book of Mark. Mark 6, verse 5. He is Jesus. Now, this is Almighty God in human flesh, right?
Yes. Amen.
He could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. You remember Jairus' daughter? They laughed at him. He cleared the room.
Yep. Right.
Why do you have to do that? Their unbelief was so strong.
Yep.
You say, well, that's God Almighty. Amen. But he was a human, too. Don't get quiet.
That's right.
He said right here in the Bible, he could do there no mighty work. Save, laid the hands on a few sick folks and healed them. So what does false doctrine do? We already covered this the other day. False doctrine does the opposite of all this. False doctrine brings the enemy between you and God and puts him at the head and you not at the head and God not at the head. It dilutes the word of God. That's what's been happening. Listen, Satan didn't change the word. He diluted it. Now, we know it changed. Man changed it, but what'd he tell Eve? Right. You'll not surely die. Right. Not. That's all he stirs. Not. And then we lose our authority, and obviously when sin's involved, in the Garden of Eden, first thing when sin was produced and brought to God, what'd he say? I got to put a gap between me and you. Enmity. I got to put a chasm. I can't talk to you face to face. I was telling the other day, Brother Bruce, how many years you been married? Oh, wait a minute. I only put you on the spot. How many years you been married?
17.
You were choking, weren't you? Yeah. I could see that facial expression. I'm like, I better ask her one that knows. Well, praise the Lord anyway. But what if you had married your wife and hadn't seen her for 17 years? That's what God's waiting on.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, God knows. God hears our voice.
Right.
But he's never seen the bride like he wants to see her. Because
right.
He's in another dimension.
Right.
And Brother Brown said, we meet him in the air, and then his feet doesn't hit the ground until the millennium. So down here, his bride is developing, and she's also at that time becoming a wife because of the opening of the seals. She's become a wife, a mature, and he's never been with her.
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure, the Holy Ghost. Listen, I know it's one person. I know, but remember, Brother Branham said, God only hears your voice
right.
through the blood.
Right.
That's what he said. He hears your voice. He said, if not, he'd have to kill you. Even being a Christian, he'd have to kill you. Because of our unbelief. God has no dealing with unbelief.
Right.
That's why that God had to send us a prophet to bring us true doctrine,
right.
to defeat the enemy, to put the word back into power, to put authority back into power, and to deepen our relationship with God
right.
so that we can be so close. What about Adam and Eve, though, talking to God, and they were naked?
Yeah.
And there was no shame
because right.
their mind was pure.
No.
Their mind was pure. And God knew their mind was pure at the time. But he knew what they was going to do. But still every day he come down to Brother Bram and he said, hey, how you doing? You having a good day today? I said, man, you look just like me. Amen. You just like me, son. You look just like me.
That's right.
Then all of a sudden one day he said, I can't find you. Where are you?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah.
You did something.
Right.
But you know, God produced the blood before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And in God's mind, that's why it had to be in God's mind first.
Right.
If not, Adam would have been destroyed, Eve would have been destroyed, and God had to start over again.
Right.
But back before the foundation of the world, he stood as a lamb slain.
Right.
God looked out into eternity and he said, I knew you was going to do this,
right.
but I've already made a provision for you.
Right.
I've already made a place of escape for you. But you got to take this substitute blood, this animal blood, and kill it for a few thousand years. But I'm coming.
Right, right, amen.
God in Genesis 3:15 says, I'll put enmity.
That's right.
I'll do it.
Right.
God said, I'm going to bring this thing back. Because
right.
he wants fellowship, just like he did with Adam and Eve, with no restrictions.
Amen.
That's why sometimes we can reach that channel. In your Christian experience, there's going, you better be. There'd be a day that you feel close to God, closer than any other time.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Remember what Brother Dale always told us about that? He said, if you're sitting in a congregation, he said, if God reveals something to you and you get a true revelation of something you didn't, or that you had a question on, or something that you doubted, or something you feared, and all of a sudden it just comes wide open and you say, thank God.
Amen.
He said, raise your hands and say, God, save my children. Save my family. He said, because that's the closest God will be to you for a while.
Right.
Right.
Because God loves revelation. He hates unbelief. And if he brings a revelation to us, then he's brought us something that will take us over to that body change.
Amen.
So true, we needed the true doctrine. That's why they had the truth in the first church age. Part of it in the second, some of it in the third, hardly any in the fourth. The fifth church age, God was coming back with Luther, with reformers, but he was starting a restoration. The sixth church age was John Wesley. Then you had a Pentecostal age in there, and then you had a Laodicean age. But you and I are not in that age. As Brother Andrew was speaking last night, we're in it, but not of it. Okay? So how do we deepen our relationship with God? Know who the devil is and his tactics. Amen? Bible says resist the devil and he'll free from. Well, how do you know who it is? You got to know who it is before you can resist him. Because Dad always said, he said, a lot of people say that the devil talks to you like real mean and all this out here. And, you know, and the devil's like, oh, no. He said, no, sometimes God says, hey, buddy, get off and on. And Satan's like, oh, he shouldn't have said that about you. He shouldn't have said that like that. That hurt your feelings, didn't it? Well, come on, somebody, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, your feelings have never been hurt. Well, pray for me. We have some perfect people to go to church here. So anyway, we're all perfect in God's eyes according to the word. Amen. We're just trying to get there so that we can believe it. All right, everybody with me? All right, real quick. The white horse was what? It was a bluff. He had a bow and no arrows. He was a white righteous church to begin with. And then he switched over when church and state came together and put Roman Catholic hierarchy in the church.
That's right.
Under Constantine. Now we saw that already. Just backing up real quick. The red horse rider, he was not given a sword at first, he was given a word. And the people believed that word, and they believed it so much during that fourth church age, Brother Bruce, 68 million Christians were killed. Not sinners.
Right.
68 million Christians were put to death because they did not go by the doctrine of the Catholic Church because they were killed by false doctrine.
Right.
68 million of them were physically killed. Not spiritually killed.
Right.
Brother Brown said untold millions were spiritually killed.
Right.
But naturally killed. That's why you had the red horse. Then you got the black horse. We just got finished with it on the third seal. It was a power in the people, but it was absent of truth because the third horse, the third seal, was coming out of the dark ages, and it was a black horse. It was a man anointing. Everybody with me?
Right.
It was a man anointing. The man anointing was bringing back the true word of God. Because remember what he said in the third seal, right? Brother Bram said it wasn't a combat beast that spoke and said, don't you hurt the oil and wine. It was the Lamb himself.
Right.
Why was he doing that? Because he was going to get this thing right. The bride tree had been eaten down to a stump. But he said, I will restore. He didn't say, you can restore, the devil can. No, he said, I. But God. Amen. But God said, I will restore. So I'm going to do it. You just watch. I'm going to bring it up. He said, well, I'll not read it to save time. Brother Bram said, four death messengers ate the tree down. The caterpillar and all that, you know. But he said, but four life messengers brought it back. Which was Luther. Where's my chart? Which was Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. And then the fourth was the revealed word, the word back in power like it should have been. And then the word being brought back into power is what? The headstone coming to the church.
Right.
He's the head and we're the body. All right? Praise the Lord. They're doing the best they can back there. Anyway, We love them all. Y'all know that. Even Terrence's brother-in-law was back there doing his work. Hey, listen, Brother Richard does a good job. He does a good job here, and he does a good job back there. So, amen. What was I saying? Okay, the third seal is going to, when he said, okay, you got your balances, you got a black horse, you got all these symbols, he said, but he speaks out and says, don't touch my oil and my wine. He said, that wasn't the combat beast. He said, that was the Lamb himself. Amen. Because he was going to start right here. But God will speak when this seal opens. Because that seal was a black horse, was power coming into the people. Now, good and bad, there was no denomination from the fourth church age back. The denomination started in the fifth and sixth church age. Lutherans, Wesleyans, Pentecostals, all the different ones, right? But God was building the church too. He was two shoots, then the stalk, then the tassel, then the full grain, which would be in the seventh age. Everybody with me? So the black horse was an economic control. We showed last week, a couple weeks ago, that was the greatest. It was called the industrial age. It was called the missionary age. They went from a horse to a car. They went from all the writing stuff down to printing presses. And listen, that was to help get the word out, but it also got the false word out too. All right? Listen, Satan never originated anything, so when God starts something, Satan just attaches himself to it.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes, he's not an originator.
Right.
Remember, he was created. Right. And let me finish my thought. Do you know you and I were formed in the image of God before the foundation of the world to defeat that guy?
Amen.
Nobody else is going to defeat him.
No.
Satan, listen, God defeated him at Calvary. Why are we still dying?
Oh, yeah.
He wants to do it in me and you.
Amen.
He wants you and I to bring the power back.
Amen.
Among the people. And we saw it in very small part with Brother Branham. With the pulls, creation of the squirrels, giving life to two young men, and all those different things. But he said, what you see in part, he said, you'll see in its fullness. When these seals truly open, we're going to see when we get in the fifth seal. I saw something the other day. I got it wrote down, but Lord help, can't get to it today. But we will. To where just like what Brother Andrew was saying last night, there's a group of people that was built, formed, and listen, you may not agree with this, but genetically made human for God to put his life in and defeat the devil with.
Amen.
Remember Brother Brown, he stood that day and he said he took this one and bred it to this one. This one, how'd you get here?
Right.
Look back in time and try to, well, maybe not, find your ancestors. And you wonder, how'd I get here? Well, you know what? God had his hand in every bit of that. You had nothing to do with your birth, your first one. You have everything to do with the second one. But the first one you had nothing to do with. But God did. God put your DNA here so that he can match his. Oh, come on, babe. I was thinking about this the other day. I thought, God, how much he has taken care of us. Even as I think somebody was preaching the other day, even from the womb. Even from the womb, Jeremiah said, you chose me when I was in the womb. In other words, listen, to be frank, he put the egg and the sperm, the right ones together.
Right.
Let all the other millions go. Come on, somebody, just to get you here.
Right.
I told him the other day in Virginia when I was preaching for Brother Ron Spencer. It's been a few years ago. 600,000 men were killed in the Civil War. 600,000 generations were cut off if they didn't have children. And a lot of them didn't. A lot of them were 16, 17, 18 year old, never been married before.
Right.
A bullet would go by one and hit another one.
Right.
But somewhere in that battle, you got ancestors that didn't get hurt.
Right.
20,000 people, 20,000 men got killed at the Battle of Gettysburg. 20,000. thousand. I'm talking about men. I ain't talking about women. I'm talking about men. So the genealogy is in the man, right? We understand that as we're older. We understand that. The genealogy is in the man. That was completely cut off. That was left on the battlefield to die. But somebody made it so you can make it.
Amen.
Somebody, a bullet had to be moved out of your way. Your ancestors like, I don't know how I made it through that battle. I was the only one left. You know why? Oh, hallelujah. Because maybe I was in there somewhere. Maybe you were in there somewhere. God's got his hand in everything.
Amen.
He takes care of his children. But God come forward and spoke when that third seal opened. Now watch, Brother Brown tells us right here. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. What was it? It was the Lamb. He's redeemed it. The Lamb, not the four beasts, didn't announce this. Why? Because he was going to take over. He was going to build a bride. He was going to build somebody that was going to be the genealogy of the next church age and of the next church age. But listen, folks, there is no other church age to come.
Amen.
This is it. So the genealogy of Gentiles will be over very soon. There'll be no other children born to Gentiles. Oh, yeah, there'll be plenty out there. I'm talking about bride children. We're coming to a close, folks. I'm not, but we're coming to a close in the end time. I'm about to close. If you've heard Brother Kidry Diggs, that's what he said as soon as he reads the scripture. He said, I'm about to. I just ain't figured out when that about to is yet. But the Lord bless you. Now, Revelation 5 is the opening of the seals, right? So let me make a little point here real quick. What happens when the seal gets ready to open, when that lamb takes the book? All right, lamb's going to take the book, Revelation 5. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Now, who was that? That was the lamb. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, now there's your four beasts, your lion, ox, man, and eagle, the Holy Ghost, 4 and 20 elders, 12 in the old, 12 in the new, everybody with me, right? Fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of you.
Right.
You say, my prayer doesn't do anything. Oh, yes, it does. Somewhere, it will do what it said it was going to do.
Right.
Because they're being recorded, even in Revelation 5, Brother Bruce, they're there.
Amen.
The prayers of the saints are there when he opens the book. Why? There's where you are.
Amen.
There's the real you. There's your name in the book.
Amen.
And we sung a new song. We have a new day. We have a new thought. We have a new revelation. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Now watch. Remember, Revelation 5, verse 1, there was no one could even look at the book.
Right.
No one was worthy.
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
John said, we looked everywhere. He said, I'm not even worthy either.
Right.
But somewhere between Revelations 5, 1 and 2 to Revelations 5, 10, something happened. Because
right.
Now we're kings and priests.
Right.
He give us authority. He give us dominion. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, that same group of people that was unworthy six verses before.
Amen.
See how God can change the scene? Just read the Bible.
Yeah.
Put yourself in there.
Right.
Put yourself. He took you. The book's you. The book's not a book like this.
Right.
The book's you. You're the book.
Amen.
The only Bible people will see is you. Sorry, but we're not be carrying Bibles in the millennium. We ain't going to be carrying Bibles in the new city.
Nope.
We are the living word of God.
Amen.
We will and know our part. I believe we need to know it now. Because when you know it now, that gives you confidence.
Yes.
When you approach God for something. When you open the book. You read yourself. Long ago, I told you, I take Abraham's name out and I put my name in.
Right.
And now it's pretty obvious I'm well stricken with age. So there'll be no amens to that, please. Well, he said Abraham was well stricken with age. But anyway, but he got a body change.
Right.
So it was a voice. It wasn't the combat beast. What was he doing? He was doing a work of restoration by what? By Luther and Wesley, but it was reformation because they still had false doctrine in their psyche, their self. See, that's what a paradox to me is that Luther has the same Holy Ghost you do, right? There's not three or four different Holy Ghosts. Right. He has the same Holy Ghost you did in his soul, but he preached a Trinitarian doctrine on the outside. Right. Well, you know what? It wasn't time for the fullness to come. It was time for him to stand out and say, the just shall live by faith. Right. That scripture right there just came off of the book. Luther said, that's what this age is calling for. Right. Wesley stands up and he says, let's have some of that Lutheran plus.
Right, right.
We're not going to go to the beer joints. We're not going to smoke a pipe like Luther did.
Right.
He said, tea doesn't even have any value. He was an Englishman. He liked his tea time, you know. He said it was a waste of time.
Right.
Says a man that preached 4,000 sermons in 1 year.
Yeah.
Amen. Remember, we read all that history not too long ago. The things he... Phew, preached 6 and 8 sermons a day. He was a firebrand snatched out of the fire. So we come up to the getting ready to get to the fourth seal, and remember, you see all these things, the little bullet points. The true revelation returns. How did it return? It returned through a prophet. It started in Luther with the just shall live by faith. Brother Brown tells us, and I got the quote here where he says it was a dip into the Holy Ghost. But remember, a dip into the ocean is the ocean.
Yeah, right.
It's just not the fullness of the ocean.
Right.
So Luther had a dip. Wesley had a bigger dip. Pentecost had a bigger dip. And then we come up now to the time where we're getting ready for a rapture. Folks, we got the fullness.
Right.
We got the ocean and the man that created it.
Amen.
Living in us today. So let's look real quick right here. What time is it? It's only 7 o'clock. It was 7 o'clock sometime before this. Let's skip a little bit. All right, that's before I was beginning to say. Luther's message. The just shall live by faith, which is justification. Wesley is cleaning up of the church, sanctification. Azusa Street Pentecost brought back the gifts. All right? And that was a platform that Brother Branham could step out on. He couldn't step out on sanctification to bring him to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost with the restoration of the gifts was a platform. Then when Brother Branham came, boom, he just took them higher. They just wouldn't go with him. So what did Malachi 4 do? It was a complete revelation of the entire word, the message. Did the Son of Man ever preach anything wrong? Did he ever do something? You know, he didn't say one day, he said, now me and Father, we fought it out last night, but I'm going to do what he says. No, he said, I only do that, what the Father tells me.
Right.
That's where we got to come to. A Gethsemane, folks. Not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
A dying to ourself. And Brother Branham was real, he's real cordial. He beat on the Methodists and the Lutherans and all the denominations, but he said, we're not talking about the individuals. But the age.
That's right.
Now, if you attach yourself to it, there's the problem.
Right. Amen.
But now remember, Luther's just shall live by faith took him into the sixth dimension so that he can come back into this dimension, take a body change, and go home.
Right.
You and I, that won't do that now.
Right.
You can't be justified, just justified and be the bride. You might be able to be saved. You might have to come to the white throne judgment, but you will not be bride.
Right.
Why? Because the Holy Ghost has moved. Brother Bram said, as the Holy Ghost moved, if we don't move, he leaves us.
Right.
He left the Pentecost. He was with that Pentecostal group. Hey, listen, he produced those signs and wonders. He produced those Daddy Seymour and all the different ones that preached fire and brimstone and spoke in tongues all night long and all that.
Right.
But then a messenger came on the scene and says, let's take that plus.
Right.
And the Pentecostal said, nope, this is it.
Right.
Brother Brown calls it, in the old Kentucky term, cabbage down.
Amen.
Stayed there. But you and I, the age they lived was not the age of restoration. Neither was any age but this last age, the age of complete blackout and apostasy. This is the age of apostasy, and this is the age of restoration. It is the age, listen, of the finished cycle. What did Brother Adam tell us? What did he tell us the seventh seal was? The end of all things.
Right?
End of the struggling world. He names them. We'll talk about them later. With this, it's all over. So there's nothing coming.
Right.
Brother Branham's not even coming.
Right.
Except we bring him out of the grave.
Right.
You see, each of those ages only took a dip of the Holy Spirit. Justification is a work. Sanctification is a work, but the baptism is the Holy Spirit. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down. No messenger to the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself in his fullness of the baptism. But at the end of the age, as it always ends up on the others, we find there the messenger is sent. And all these scruples and things are placed in their place. Then the rapture comes for the church. So the bride's got to be in their place.
Right.
That's what he said. Placed in their places like that, then the rapture comes. So when we're placed in our place, there will be a resurrection. There will be a body change, and then there will be a rapture. All right, everybody with me on that? But you got to look at the fours. We now are in fours. We know three is perfection, but why did four life messengers have to bring it back if four death messengers ate it down? Four life messengers had to bring it back. Why? Because you got that little baby that you saw a few minutes ago. The water broke. The blood came. The baby came. Ow! And now we just take that baby and we're just going to put it over in a little room and leave it there. It's a human. It's a beautiful little baby. We got it here. It will die. You can receive the Holy Ghost and die.
Right.
Because you choose to.
Right.
But there's got to be a growth period. That's what number four is. It's the growth of that baby to bring as time goes on. We'll have her here in the church. And we'll have her singing. We'll have her. Right?
Right.
That's what we've lost in the message. We get the Holy Ghost and we think we're done. That just gets you started.
That's right.
Amen. This age requires more than that.
Right.
This age requires that we grow.
Right.
Water, blood, life, and growth, maturity, resurrection, change, rapture.
Amen.
And what's Brother Branham said to do? We'll kind of wind it down a little bit. We'll get to where we need to go. But still, we haven't gotten to the fourth seal yet. So what is this messenger of Malachi 4 going to do? Don't laugh. What's this messenger of Malachi 4 going to do? See, I don't have to wake you up either. She says she might fall asleep, and I need to do this. I said, yeah, right, I'm going to step here and do this. Yeah, no, I'm going to go over the book and go, pow. So what did the prophet do? He come to do two things.
Right.
I can almost quote this without even looking at it. But just to make sure I don't make a human mistake. Now, this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelations 10:7 is going to do two things.
Right.
One, and I'm going to interpolate if you don't mind. All right. Paul interpolated. Do you know what that is?
Right.
Brother Dale preached on it years ago. If you're looking, everything Paul wrote, there would be a thought and then there's a parenthesis. And he makes a few statements and then you see the parentheses again. Well, if you took that out, it would be what Paul wrote. But he's interpolating. He's telling you, you're not going to understand this, so I'm going to interpolate. I'm going to put something in there to help you understand it.
Right.
Look in your Bible. Everywhere there's parentheses.
Right.
Paul added that. Now, what Paul added is just as good as what God added because God put his stamp of approval on it.
Right.
So same way with Brother Branham. Brother Claude always says, Brother Claude Weisinger, he said, you know what? He said, we can misquote Scripture in the message and be okay. He said, you misquote a quote, you don't ever come back and preach for him again. One, according to Malachi 4, he will return or restore the heart of the children to the fathers, which was the first Pentecostal blessing right over there before the first church age.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Yeah.
All right, because remember, just that you can't see it here. I've got another chart. We'll look at it later. There was a Pentecostal age right here.
Right. That's right.
Maybe. There was no messenger. I just read you the quote about this one.
Yep.
They got to be bookends.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Pentecostal age had no messenger. Peter was the spokesperson. There was no messenger. Peter was the spokesperson because Paul comes at the end of the Pentecostal age, brings his message, and then comes over here and it starts falling down, and then the next guy. Everybody got me?
Yep.
Same way happened. Had to happen right here. The way Alpha started is the way Omega's got to start.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
So, Brother Brown, I just read you the quote where he said, no messenger to the age because the Holy Ghost came himself. Now, he had spokesperson. He had Daddy Seymour. William Parham were spokespersons. They were not prophets.
Right.
God came himself in the fullness of the baptism. I read that quote to you just a few minutes ago.
Right.
So that's where you have to put those Pentecostal ages in there. If you don't, then you'll get all messed up. But we know that. We've been taught that for years. So now, Brother Brown, he's going to do what? He's going to come and restore things back to where it was right here. Right? Faith of the fathers, that's what that is right there. The fathers were the what? Apostles and prophets, or the apostles.
Yep.
Right?
Right?
Peter, James, and John, Paul, all the different ones. All right? Now, to be the bookends and to be the Alpha and Omega, the Alpha's got to be the same as Omega, so there had to be a prophet come to begin that first church age. Who was it? Paul.
Right.
So after the Pentecostal age here, right here, there you go, thank you. Right there, the Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism. Hello?
Amen.
To bring a message that Brother Branham got on and rode.
Right.
Hey, listen. He didn't do away with the Pentecostal blessing. He just said there's plus.
Yeah, right.
There's more.
Right.
You're staying here. There's more.
That's right.
They missed the more. If you look at that, we drew that a long time ago because the Bible tells us, can't remember the scripture, talks about the porter. So what does a porter do? A porter stands at the door of a huge restaurant, of a huge motel, and he knows what's going on inside the motel, and if you need something, he directs you to where you go.
Right.
I don't have enough money to ever been privileged to that. I usually have to go in and she says, third floor. Get off the elevator, turn right, into the hallway. There's your number. But there were porters in the old, if you watch the old movies, there's a guy standing there in a coat and a hat. Well, he's a porter. Brother Branham, God talks about a porter that stands at the door. He stands at the door and he introduces you into that building. Well, Paul introduces us into that first church age. Irenaeus introduces us into the second. Martin, Columba, all the different ones. But they stood at the end of the other age and brought their message. So Brother Branham, there had to be a Holy Ghost. Come on. There had to be a Holy Ghost time to where God could come. As I read you, Brother Branham said, no message to the age because the Holy Ghost came himself. And then God sends Elijah.
Amen.
Now, what was Elijah's message? It was in two parts. I'm just reading it right here.
Right.
One, he will turn or restore the hearts of the children to the first Pentecostal fathers. What did he do? He tied up all the loose ends that was from all the other ages.
Right.
Water baptism, we can list them all, but we know all that. That wasn't anything new.
Right.
That was already in the Bible.
Right.
Man had just fell away from it.
Right.
Sister's dress was not something Brother Branham came up with. It was something that the anointing of the prophet brought back out and put it together.
Because
when you tie up loose ends, that means something broke.
Right.
You take the two ends, you tie them back together. All right? Make the doctrine right. So now he has another part, and I didn't bring this quote, but Brother Ram says, not in the years of preparation, not in the years of the healing campaign.
Right.
That was not Brother Branham's message.
Right. No. That's right.
Was not. He's telling you right here.
Right.
His message is the seals. He preached under the man anointing until March of 1963. He was restoring everything back into the man from the man age and the intelligence of man. But when that eagle anointing came, it was something higher, something nobody ever seen before. Remember the vision where he took the top off the pyramid and he looked down and saw that writing that he said man had never seen before? I thank God one thing. He didn't leave it in there.
Amen.
He didn't leave it in there.
Amen.
He brought it out, and he brought it to the people.
Amen.
Brother Claude always said, he said, I love Brother Branham because he couldn't keep a secret. And that's the truth. I'm glad he didn't. All them things that happened to him, if he'd have kept them secret, we wouldn't have hardly anything to go on. He told us he tried to kill himself twice. He tried to murder a bunch of people, kids. He's going to kill a man's dog. Put poison in it. You know, he's going to go over and kill it. So the man poisoned his dog. He didn't keep any secrets because we know the humanity side of it. But we also know that he brought us a message. And that's the side that we're looking at today. Because listen, folks, if we have to preach today, hair and dress, and I know there's some coming in, and you understand what I'm saying, but there's got to come a time to where we have to, as Paul says, lay those things aside.
Right.
Build on them and go on.
Right.
Sure, we have to interject a few things when we got new people here that you know, it's obvious they didn't know anything about hair and dress and all that, But when are we going to quit circling back?
Right.
Paul said, let us go on
right.
to perfection.
Right.
Not laying aside. I mean, not getting rid of all that. That's got to be in there. But if you have today, listen, if you have to be told you got to come to church, you're lost.
Right.
If you're told you got to wear the certain kind of clothes and you don't, you're lost. It's iniquity. You know better and you don't do it, or you do it and you know you shouldn't.
That's
why the Bible tells us that come to the end times that a sinner won't be able to sit in the congregation of the righteous. Why? It'll be called out.
And
they won't be able to sit there. Well, don't get quiet on me. I hope we ain't in that group. Let us escape that. All
right,
so one, he says, okay, not in the years of preparation, not in the healing campaign. I'll bring you those quotes if you need them. He said, but when the messenger begins to bring his message, which is number two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10. Sorry, Luis. I know he's having a hard time tonight. Sorry about that. You ought to know these things. You ought to be able to preach it yourself. We were in Honduras, I was telling you, we were in Honduras, and he was interpreting for me, and I stopped and paused, and he finished two sentences that I was going to say.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I know it was the Lord, but he said, I knew what you were going to say.
Right.
Amen.
I thank God for our interpreters.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. They do a wonderful job. So the seven thunders in Revelation 10, don't get up and walk out. Seven thunders, we're okay, we'll be all right. Which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. So what are the seven thunders? They're the revelations in the seals.
Right.
It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally bring the headstone.
Right.
Son of man ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the hearts of the children. He says hearts, but we know his heart. To the Pentecostal fathers. Now, that word literally, he had to put that in there because I am not standing here in type. I am not standing here and hope I'll be here.
Right.
I'm literally standing here.
Because
it's been revealed to you by my loud mouth that I'm here.
Amen.
Well, amen that. Okay, all right, praise the Lord. I think my wife said it first. All right, real quick, now close. The Son of Man ministry, boy, I spelt that wrong. I usually try to look at my spell check. I look at others when they're preaching, I'm like, did you not see that? So ministry. You can write this down. I made a mistake. Jeez. Critics. Critics. Janine, you okay? So the Son of Man ministry, though, is a ministry of resurrection. He never attended a funeral. Never. He never walked by a dead person that didn't come out of their death. Because he said, what? I am the resurrection and the life. This is the Son of Man ministry. Destroy this temple and I'll raise it up. I told y'all last week, be real careful. But I want you to realize something. You are not a type of anything. Think about that. Everything in the Bible, everything in the prophet's message shows in type and types you.
Amen.
I'm not a type of Christ. Satan is a type of Christ. He can pass out spiritual gifts. He can preach. I'm not pointing at you because of that. He can preach. Some people get all kind of complexes. I think I'll turn around this way. All the different things the devil can do, but he cannot be Almighty God in human flesh.
Amen.
You and I have that opportunity.
Amen.
Are we not?
That's right.
Now, listen, according to the word of God, ye are gods who the word comes to. Now, we know it's a little g, but who makes us the little g? It's because we have the big G inside of us. So I don't want to be, I want everything. Brother Bram said, look, he looks in the Bible, he reads about Christ, and he stands up one day and he says, she is him.
Amen.
Whatever speaks of the bridegroom is speaking of the bride.
Right.
He ain't saying type.
Right.
Listen, that's the fullness of the Son of Man ministry. There's nothing in between. It's God. We are God made manifest in another form called a bride, or we are the most deceived people in the world.
Amen.
Brother Dale, all the different ones just went on. They're not destroyed. Their temple's still around. They're going to pick that temple up. And they're going to move into it. Destroy this temple and I'll raise it up.
Amen.
You know, one time, a man named Moses, he's in the backside of a desert. He's done tried all he could to get the children of Israel, and he kills an Egyptian. He goes back. He comes back through the desert, and God said, it's time now. So he meets a burning bush. And when he meets that burning bush, he said, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? He said, tell them I am that I am.
That's right.
Now listen to what he said. He said, tell them. In other words, wherever he's going, he said, tell them I am that I am.
Right.
Moses said, okay. Grabbed a stick. Him and Aaron walks into the palace of the Egyptians and walks right up to Pharaoh and says, let my people go.
Right.
Pharaoh goes, 1, 2, millions. 1, 2, millions. Who's going to deliver these people? Moses said, I am.
Right.
I am. Who's going to take a body change? I am. I am is here today.
Amen.
That's how personal it should be. It was personal to Moses. Moses didn't stutter. Well, I guess Moses could stutter a little bit. But when Pharaoh says, who's going to deliver these people? He told him exactly what God told him to say.
Right.
I am.
Right.
I'm going to deliver these people. God said, I am going to send you a message. Let's stand to our feet. I am going to send you a message. I'm going to send you a message like no other message before. And I'm going to go in that little man, and I'm going to preach to you, and I'm going to preach to you eternal life like it's never been preached before.
Right.
But I'm going to take him off the scene because I can't change my word.
Amen.
Revelation 10:7 says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, Just as Jesus said, I must go away. Brother Branham had to go away. Or we still have our eyes on him, like some people still have their eyes on him. But we didn't. We were emancipated from that. We got freedom from that. But in that fourth seal, just put this in your hat for the next time we preach. In the fourth seal, redemption is over for the Gentiles. If the rapture, I didn't get to it, but I got it in here, that the rapture takes place on the fourth seal. Because there's no more combat beasts. They're all gone. Okay? Because the next thing Brother Bram said is in heaven. But what is the fifth seal? If the fourth seal is redemption for the Gentiles and we take a rapture, what is the fifth seal? We're not here. What is the fifth seal? Jews. What happens when God leaves here? When he leaves the Gentile? He goes straight to the Jews. Amen? Then the sixth seal is the tribulation. So you got the fourth seal. We're in the fourth seal now. In type. Type of the world in the fourth seal. Fifth seal goes, he goes to the Jews. The sixth seal is the tribulation, or is the atomic bombs and all that, which is tribulation. Then the seventh seal, we're going to the millennium with him. He doesn't step his foot on earth until the millennium, right? And listen, he is the seventh seal. Without him, there is no seal. But that's what we got to see, that when we get finished with the fourth seal, we got to come back under that fourth seal, because in type, the fifth seal and sixth seal and seventh seal work right back under that fourth seal, because you and I are going to need a fifth seal grace to get us out of here. Because you know what the fifth seal is? The fifth seal is God give eternal life to people that didn't even want it. Is that not us standing here today? Yeah. Right. He gives it to a group of people that didn't even know him. They turned him down. Right. Oh, what kind of grace is that? Right. Listen, this thing turns him down all the time. Right. Our memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination, we fight all the time with that thing. Right. But listen, I've said many, how long have I been telling y'all? Whatever you got inside of you, you better let it out. Because if you don't, it's coming out anyway. All secrets is going to be made known. There's nothing going to be hid. And you don't have to have discernment to call things out. No, the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You preach the word of God, people either come or they'll leave. Oh, they'll hang around. Listen, they'll hang around. I was telling you the other day, Noah gets up on Sunday morning in his 120th year plus a day. He gets up on the 120th year plus a day, and he walks out there, and he goes, God said, no, I'm done. Stop. Go get in the ark. Take your kids and get in the ark. Noah didn't quit preaching. God stopped him. What'd he tell him? Go get in the ark. And he shut the door. Let's don't be outside that ark. Let's don't be that borderline person that stands right there next to the ark and said, well, I'll jump in when I feel like it. Noah don't know what he's talking about. Well, that same person that stood there, I'm sure about a day into all that rain, his finger marks were on the side of that ark because it was pitched with tar. And they were trying to get on, but they couldn't because God shut the door. God said, I'm done. I'm finished. Man's not going to stop this thing. God's going to stop it. But he's going to see a group of people get in line and get finished. Last one come in. Then he's going to shut the door. And that's going to be it. So get in while you can. If you don't know that you know that you know, you need to find out, to find out, to find out that you know. You love the Lord? But study the seals, and don't study them as just something to study on. Look deep inside of them and see what the prophet of God said about each one of them. I was reading the fifth seal today. kind of getting ready for later on. And, you know, he kind of laps back and covers the fourth seal and the fifth seal. And that's really when he tells us that the bride's gone, that the combat beasts are gone. And if you'll do that in all the seals, he kind of reviews, kind of like what we try to do, is review a little bit. But read that seal, the fifth seal, is the greatest grace that you'll ever see. Right. Read it. It's a group of people under an altar crying how long to have... They had anger. Yeah. Anger. How long to avenge our blood?
Yes. That's right.
Huh? And God still gives them white robes. God still gives... That fifth seal Jew is the number five, the number of grace. That's the greatest grace that God will ever give a group of people, is to give them eternal life and they don't even want it. Then the sixth seal, what is the sixth seal? Nature is all disrupted. Earthquakes, all the different things. You see them already happening now. Well, listen, this nature's got to be disrupted too. First. Remember when Adam fell, everything fell behind him. So guess what? When Adam rises back up again, everything's going to come up with him. Everybody with me? You just watch these little earthquakes and you see they're coming closer and tighter, tighter and tighter. They're heading toward California.
Amen.
And now, you know, they got a big fault right in the middle of the United States. Always been there. It's, what is it, New Madrid or something like that? It's right up the Mississippi River.
Right.
If you read Brother Branham, he says there will be tidal waves all the way to the Mississippi River.
Right.
Kind of glad I'm in Georgia. Keep that out of the way. But God's going to have a bride. He's going to get us out of here too. He promised. Listen, God said. God said he'd get us out of this. But what we got to do is do like Brother Ernie Villanueva said, we got to plug ourselves into the eternal. If this is the eternal and this is the plug I got to get into, I'm going to plug myself into that. This message is right. There is no other message. There is nothing coming. It's already here. I just believe that. I pray you believe it too. God bless you. Let's sing one song.
Amen. God's attributes manifested, pride in this last day. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and why we're raised up for. Praise the Lord.
The original life. That's what it is. The original life.
Victory is ours, who are chained down.
It had to be the Son of Man revelation in the end time. He sat down, the Son of Man himself, sat down with a group of 12 people in an upper room. He's the only one that knew who the devil was because he was the Son of Man. So the Son of Man revelation tells me one thing. Satan has to be exposed. In doctrine, in our life, in everything we do, Satan has to be exposed because it's the Son of Man message. He sat there and he said, one of you. And you know how Brother Branham illustrates it? He tells Judas to go do what he needs to do. And he said, they thought he's just going to pay the bills for the food. They were all deceived, every one of them. He even said to one, it sopped the bowl. And here's Judas, sops the bowl. And they still said, Lord, is it me? The Son of Man knew. So the Son of Man message in the end time knows what to do with the devil. I just believe that. That's why the Son of Man message. Under the Son of God message down through the church ages, there could be scruples. There could be false doctrine. But the Son of Man never preached a false doctrine. That's why we've got to make sure that we are on point and we know what we're talking about. But God said he'd do it for us. But we just got to yield ourselves to him. Amen. Remember this weekend. Remember, come expecting. It's our 55th anniversary. Started in a little building. And I'll tell the story, but Saturday. But we started in this building, and the door was right there. Two windows. The wall was right there. And we had church this way. It actually was those seats. Those theater seats, those brown theater seats that was in y'all's church, that's where they came from. They came from here. We gave them to Brother Stokely years and years ago. Remember them old theater seats? They're so comfortable. Especially after a three-hour Moat sermon. Brother Moat would come walking out, and he'd have books like his right here, and he wasn't about that tall. He had books like this. You knew he's going to read out of every book because he'd put them all right here, and he'd read one. He'd lay right here. He'd read one, he'd lay. But that's how that we got taught, that we were taught. But we were getting ready to close, and everybody was parked right here. That was just a bunch of weeds back here, just a jungle. So there was five cars parked right here down the street. Brother Moat was preaching. He stopped. He said, let's sing it. Let's sing it one more time. One more time. And when we were singing that song, one more time, he's an old man came down in a Cadillac, and you can hear it on the tape. It hits every car, knocks one car, not into the building, but into the building, hits Daddy's head on, hits Brother Robert Hollins, hits Brother Moats, and hits Brother Robert Lewis's. And you can hear bam, bam, bam. If we hadn't sang that next verse again, Brother Eric, we'd have been standing in between all them cars when that guy came by. So the first sermon we had, the first day we opened, was a battle. Satan thought he's going to get us, and God said, Brother Moat, sing one more verse of that. And as we were singing it, you can hear it on the tape. You hear bam, 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 bam. We go walking out there, and this old guy's like a 58 Cadillac, huge, great old big thing, you know. And he was just, he was an older gentleman. But he was just not in it. He'd come down through the road and come off the road and hit every car down through here. You know what we done? We went and hid, and we didn't come back to church no more because we thought it wasn't the will of God. No, we went home. We got in our second vehicle. Once they cleared these out with the wreckers, because Daddy's was like this, and I don't know, Brother Moses, they were mostly all totaled. Because when he hit them, he was running 80 miles an hour. They say he was running that fast coming down through here. But it bowed his up like this. So after they got all them cleared out with the wreckers, we come right back the next that night, and we had the second service. God's faithful. God's faithful. Let's sing it one more time. The original life.
The original sin.
Remember Saturday.
The original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is living. Seven sealed is unveiled. The original life. The original sin.
Praise the Lord. I guess let's just have a word of prayer so we can be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to have heard your word, Lord. Father God, may you just bring a revelation upon these things, Father, to our hearts, Father, that we may express it, Lord God, on the outside, Lord Jesus. For, Father, what is it, Lord God, to just be hearers of the word and not doers, Heavenly Father? We ask, Lord, that you would just help us, Father. Bless your people as they go home this evening. Watch over them, protect them, Lord God. And we just thank you for giving us this time, Lord, this evening. We commit ourselves now to your hands, and we ask that you would also have your hand upon this weekend's meetings, Lord God. May your Holy Spirit just speak to our hearts, Lord, through the speakers that will be speaking, Lord God, through the songs that will be sung, Lord, and through our hearts, Father God, that we'll be worshiping, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentiles, they'll soon be over. Glory, hallelujah to our God. Who's the original light, the original light, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled.